Welcome to New Hope Ministries. New Hope Ministries is a part of New Hope Community Church in Mount Pleasant, Pennsylvania. Please visit our website at newhopecommunityfmchurch.org. Now here's Pastor Michael with this week's message in 2 John. That's disgusting. The title of the message today is That's Disgusting. If I give you this beautifully wrapped golden box, you would probably get very excited, wouldn't you? But what if I wrapped up a cheeseburger, I ate half of it, I left it for several weeks, and then I gave it to you wrapped in the golden box? Or maybe some once beautiful flowers that were now dead and wilting badly. Sadly, there's actually a business that does that if you want to send dead flowers to someone to, I guess, make a statement. Or how about a gift from my 160-pound Mastiff that was left in the backyard? No matter what package I wrapped it up in, it would still be yucky, right? John is addressing a particular problem as those who come into the church that were not adhering to the doctrine of the Word of God that was laid out by the apostles. John is the last living apostle. Every one of them except him is dead now, and he is setting the record straight on this Gnosticism that's going on. I want you to note something. Cults and false teachers, they rarely start things off themselves. They enjoy going into some fellowship and removing people to start their own group. Even today, many individuals who are what's considered a church that develops around the leader's own insights are usually a man or woman who starts it, and that we know are walking in Jesus are not really believers because we don't have what they have. We even had that happen at this church years ago, before I even came here, that someone came in and they had their own doctrine and beliefs, and several people left and they started a church which eventually fell apart because you can't build something on someone's own belief systems. Eventually, they're going to steal money and they're going to leave. For example, too, Oneness Pentecostals, they believe God is one but not in a Trinity. Baptism is only done in the name of Jesus only. And if you don't speak in tongues, you're not saved. That's just one example. Cult leaders also work in the church and not outside, attempting to convert people and steal them away. And as believers, and especially pastors, we need to be aware of it. Don't accept them or have fellowship with them, is what John is setting here. So 2 John is about not receiving the crazy cult leaders. 3 John is about receiving the ones who aren't crazy cult leaders. Verse 1 of 2 John says, "The elder, to the lady chosen by God, and to her children, who I love in the truth, and not I only, but also all who know the truth, because of the truth which lives in us and will be with us forever." John mentions truth 5 times in these 4 verses. Truth has become fuzzy in this time. It has been destroyed by industries of advertising, politics, music, and many other things. The word tells us that we are to muse or to think. And we have many things in our lives which cause us not to think. Hence the word amusement. You go to the amusement park. Amusement is what we are bombarded with, while God desires us to muse on things. In culture, we are told different things now in this world. Pornography is now adult entertainment, as it's an expression of art and should be celebrated and not frowned upon, which even child pornography is legal in some states, and that is disgusting. Illegal drugs should be legalized, as they are a way to boost our economy and not a destroyer of the mind. And four times in the book of Revelation, it's addressed as something leading people away from God. That's repulsive. We see people not believing in God yet taking his name in vain on a regular basis, sadly, which is displeasing. All sexual sin used to be a sin, and actually illegal in parts of the country. Now, it is a lifestyle choice, and it is not a sin. That is a natural part of life to be embraced by media, television, and other areas of life, and that's offensive. Frank Sinatra and many others were arrested and placed in jail for adultery, but now it has become embraced and celebrated in TV shows and in life, which is bothersome. Reporters used to leave both sides to the viewer, but now make their opinions known and attempt to sway people to what they believe instead of reporting a story and allowing the viewer to decide for themselves, which is scandalizing. You know, the news is just so biased nowadays, depending on which news programs you watch. I want to read an article to you. The remarks were apparently made by John Swinton, then the preeminent New York journalist, probably one night in 1880. Swinton was the guest of honor at a banquet given him by the leaders of his craft. Someone who knew neither the press nor Swinton offered a toast to the independent press. Swinton, outraged by his colleagues, replied, "There is no such thing at this date of the world's history in America as an independent press. You know it, and I know it. There is not one of you who dares to write your honest opinions, and if you did, you know beforehand that it would never appear in print. I am paid weekly for keeping my honest opinion out of the paper I am connected with. Others of you are paid similar salaries for similar things. And any of you who would be so foolish as to write honest opinions would be out on the streets looking for another job. If I allowed my honest opinions to appear in one issue of my paper, before 24 hours my occupation would be gone. The business of the journalist is to destroy the truth, to lie outright, to pervert, to vilify, to fawn at the feet of mammon, and to sell his country and his race for his daily bread. You know it, and I know it. And what folly is this toasting an independent press? We are the tools and vassals of rich men behind the scenes. We are the jumping jacks. They pull the strings, and we dance. Our talents, our possibilities, and our lives are all the property of other men. We are intellectual prostitutes." Richard M. Cohen of NBC once said, "We are going to impose our agenda on the coverage by dealing with issues and subjects we choose to deal with." Richard Sallant, former president of CBS News, "Our job is to give people not what they want, but what we decide they ought to have." That's the truth today to millions of people, and I have to say, no matter what you wrap sin in, whether it be in a beautiful box wrapped with gold paper and a beautiful ribbon, when you get to the inside of it, it will still look like one of those things I talked about at the beginning. Disgusting. Today, you share God's truth about those morals, then you're a bigot, a racist, inclusive, and it's not the choice of beliefs anymore, but you and God are wrong. You're hate mongers for it, which is disgusting, considering we live in a great nation, as well as I serve a God who does not love sin, but loves sinners. And even though we disagree with the lifestyle of a person, we still love them as human beings. But they get angry that we don't agree with them and say that we're hateful about it. But truth to us, A believer has a center and a purpose to creation. History as such, and our purpose is God who knew we were lost. So, our truth is, he came in human form. He fulfilled the Old Testament prophecies. He was born of a virgin. He lived a sinless life. He was sacrificed on a cross. He had the wrath of God and hell poured out on him so we wouldn't have to endure it. He rose again. He ascended into heaven. He intercedes for us in heaven. He will one day return for us. That is the truth that we need to have in our lives. John wants us to maintain and walk in it. It is to be studied, embraced, and practiced in our daily walks. Then he will warn of those who would try to remove that in verses 3 through 6. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and from Jesus Christ, the Father's Son, who will be with us in truth and love. It has given me great joy to find some of your children walking in the truth, just as the Father commanded us. And now, dear lady, I am not writing you a new command, but one we have had from the beginning. I ask that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk in obedience to his commands. As you have heard from the beginning, his command is that you walk in love. I'm excited because your children not only study truth, or that they embrace truth, but how they are walking in truth. If we claim to study it, if we say we embrace it, and we are walking in compromise, then that is hypocrisy. So how can you see that someone is living in it daily? They are loving one another. Real love is walking a step at a time and growing in love. Walking towards Jesus and drawing closer to him helps you to embrace the truth. I can't love in an agape way towards people if I'm not learning more about and embracing him in truth. Verse 7. I say this because many deceivers who do not acknowledge Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh have gone out into the world. Any such person is the deceiver and the Antichrist. He puts it in the present tense. It says, look out for deceivers, and they say he has not come in the flesh. He will come. Antichrist, deny the point I make earlier. He came in human form. He fulfilled the Old Testament prophecies. He was born of a virgin. He lived a sinless life. He was sacrificed on a cross. He had the wrath of God and hell poured out on him so we wouldn't have to endure it. He rose again. He ascended into heaven. He intercedes for us in heaven. Then one day he will return for us. They deny these, especially those mainline denominations that don't believe Jesus is coming again. But they wrap up their religion in a good and special gold paper with a nice bow on top. This poll was taken among Christians in the United States in 2011. Most white evangelicals expect Jesus Christ return to earth. Probably will happen, definitely will not happen, don't know. Protestants, 54% will happen, 32% will not happen. White evangelical, 58% said that will, 25% it won't. White mainline, 27% says it will, 58% says it won't. Catholic, 32% says it will, 57% says it won't. Unaffiliated, 20% said it probably will, while 72% said it won't. College grad, 19% said it probably will happen, while 64% said it won't. Some college, 35% said it would happen, 51% said it won't. High school or less, 59%, yes or no. Oh yes, and then 31% said no. This is sad. This is in the church. Verse 8. Watch out that you do not lose what we have worked for, but that you may be rewarded fully. Watch out, because people will try to sway you to their teachings. Don't let them steal you away. Now, verse 9. Anyone who runs ahead and does not continue in the teaching of Christ does not have God. Whoever continues in the teaching has both the Father and the Son. Whoever doesn't continue in the bounds of primary doctrine, or refuse to use words like repentance, blood, sin as sin, righteousness as righteousness, hell is the place it really is, etc., being non-offensive, and you better watch out if you're caught up in these things as well as those who say the Bible is not inspired. Verse 10. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not take them into your house or welcome them. You can let unbelievers into your house. That is okay. And I've heard too many people tell me they were cutting off important relationships, which are bridges to salvation, as well as you, family, or friends who aren't saved because of this verse. It's not what this is saying. It says in regard to those who are deliberately out to destroy the truth of Jesus Christ, they're motivating a movement that is stomping on the true doctrine of Jesus. In other words, if you see someone approaching with a black and white suit, or they are in a suit on a Schwinn, you better be on your toes, believer, because they come with a special gift, like pamphlets with pretty pictures of heaven and panda bears and wonderful animals and all such goody-goody joy-joy teachings. But open the package and get to the primary doctrine, and we see something disgusting and untrue. Now, I've sat with them on the porch and shared from their text, their Bibles, which they didn't change certain verses, where they have strayed. And there is nothing wrong with that, but to invite them in, to feed them, to fuel them, to encourage them, and send them on their way renewed is not a good thing to do, John is saying here. They are treading all over the name of God, so to encourage and refresh them is not a good thing to do. But I will say something, confronting them with real truth is great, as their salvation involves being condemned and having the door shut in their faces. That is a part of their salvation. Verse 11. Anyone who welcomes them shares in their wicked work. If you encourage and refresh them, then you're sharing in what they're doing, and you tread the name of God underfoot as well. I encourage you today, please don't be involved in disgusting things. And remember, something may look good on the outside, but it may actually be a sinful thing that God finds disgusting. Whew. There are things in life that, and I was talking to somebody about this last week. I was talking to a group of people about this last week. There are times where I read the Bible and I'm uncomfortable with what the verses are saying. It's a good uncomfortable, I admit that. The fact that it's something that does not jive with my flesh, or maybe jives with today's culture. You know, so I'll read the Bible and I'll read it in the Greek, and then I'll read it in the language, whatever the language is, and then I'll look at it and I'll be like, oh, well, what do I need to do here? Well, I need to surrender that to God and say, Lord, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to believe? Obviously, God wants me to believe it because he had it written in the Word of God. And the Word of God says it, so God's inspired. And if you believe that it's the inerrant Word of God inspired through God's Spirit, then you are to do that. And I've seen people do this. People who were caught up in major sinful lifestyle choices that surrendered those choices to God. And every time they struggled with those choices or tried to go back to them, they surrendered again and they allowed God to change them. and they moved forward, and it was a great thing. And that's what we need to do. When we read something in the Bible that convicts us, which God's really good at that. God's really good at convicting me when I'm, especially when I'm from the pulpit, because I will read it, I will study it, I'll put it in a sermon, and then when I read it in front of a live audience and I preach it, God convicts me at that very moment, usually in front of a live audience, which is always fun. But instead of disagreeing with it and saying, well, God's wrong, just saying that is an oxymoron, putting God and wrong together. What we should do is we should just go to God and say, Lord, if this is wrong, please help me to surrender it to you. Please help me to walk in what I'm supposed to be walking in, to be doing what I'm supposed to be doing. And only through your strength, as I surrender to you, that you can help me to do this. So, let's pray. Father, there are many things in our lives that bombard us. Culture bombards us all the time. And Lord, it's really easy, especially if we're not reading our Bibles, to get caught up in the culture and what the culture believes, what the world believes, and to take that as our own, and to even at sometimes say, this is what God says. Well, God wouldn't want to do this, or God wouldn't want to do that, when it's our own opinion, Lord, and not what you say in your word. Lord, I pray that you would help us to live in your word, to read your Bible daily, to understand who you are. And Lord, it says that we are more than conquerors through him who loves us, and Lord, that you would conquer the sin within us. I pray that you would conquer the sin that's inside of us, and that you would help us, Lord, to draw closer to you. And as we draw closer to you, Lord, that you would reveal the things that we hold as our beliefs, though they're not your beliefs, and that you would help us to surrender them to you. I thank you for that. I give you praise for that. In Jesus' name, amen. If you enjoyed this message today, then please visit our website at newhopecommunityfmchurch.org. Click on the image scroller and subscribe to this podcast. And remember, there's always new hope in Jesus. God bless you.